Thank you for downloading the Elohim Church podcast. This morning's message was brought by Steve Parker. For more information, please visit our website at elohimchurch.com.
How's everybody doing? Excellent. Fantastic time of worship. Thank you very much for your prayers this week for Sharon, who is slowly getting better. So if you could continue to pray, that would be absolutely fantastic. And yeah, I appreciate my wife a bit more now because I've had to take on some of her tasks. Oh, man alive. So you make the breakfast, you clear it all away, you wash it up, and then it's time for dinner and you get it all out. And it just goes round and round and round, doesn't it, ladies?
Yes.
Oh my goodness. A woman's work is never done. Don't encourage them. Yeah, well, one day you'll be married, James. Okay. Yeah, we appreciate. Appreciate you, ladies. You're a good bunch. What a bunch of wonderful women. Right, so, yeah, we've... better add. Yeah, that'd be good. Give it. Yeah, brownie points. Yes, every little helps. Right. I had a bit of sleep deprivation with her coughing through the night and that type of thing. And I actually had some root canal treatment on Friday. Wonderful. Yeah, gorgeous, gorgeous. And can you believe it? I was actually falling asleep whilst they were doing it. That's got to be a first. It's quite a talent, quite a talent. He kept saying to me, can you feel that? I said, no, I didn't want to say to him, well, actually, no, I was just dropping off, you know. Deary me. Can you move your head back a bit more? He kept saying, I'm thinking to myself, what do you think I am, an owl? But, I tell you what, it's going to, yeah, anyway. It's all done, it's all dusted, so, yeah. And praise God. I tell you what, Angus, could we have the scriptures up on the screen, please? We're going to start in 2 Kings, all right, Dunk, chapter 4, verse 1 to 7. Right, should we have a title? I'm going to call it Empty Jars. How about that? Do you like that one? Empty Jars. Right. A song. I'm not going to sing it. Oh my word, I'm going to get blown away. Right. Bless you, Brian.
Thank you.
Right. here we go. So, one day, the widow of one of Elisha's fellow prophets came to Elisha and cried out to him, "My husband who you served is dead." And you know, he feared the Lord. Well, she cried out, didn't she? So I've got to try and make it a little bit... I need a lady to do that for me. But anyway, "My husband who served you is dead, and you know how he feared the Lord. But now a creditor has come, threatening to take my two sons as slaves. What can I do to help you?" Elisha asked. I imagine him putting his arm around her. Stay there. And tell me, what do you have in the house? "Nothing at all except a flask of olive oil," she replied. And Elisha said, "Borrow as many empty jars as you can from your friends and neighbors. Then go into your house with your sons, shut the door behind you, pour olive oil from your flask into the jars, setting the jars aside as they are filled." So she did as she was told. That was a good idea, wasn't it? Her sons brought many jars to her, and she filled one after another. Soon every container was full to the brim. "Bring me another jar," she said to one of her sons. "There aren't any more," he told her, and then the olive oil stopped flowing. When she told the man of God what had happened, he said to her, "Now sell the olive oil and pay your debts, and there will be enough money left over to support you and your sons." Fantastic. So what kind of jars is God looking for?
Empty.
Okay. And another question for us. What does olive oil represent in the Bible? Anointing, Holy Spirit, which, as we know, is the same thing. Okay. Excellent. So, the prophet didn't say, "Borrow as many cornflake packets as possible," because that would have been a very messy job, wouldn't it? Okay, he wants things that are empty. He said, get empty jars. Get as many as possible. And as Tanya was bringing in the prayer meeting this morning, it's a question for us. Have we got room for God? A thought. Okay, oil is poured. It requires a stillness. Now, when anointing is given and is poured on, you have to be still. Can you imagine if the pastor said to you, okay, I'm going to anoint you with oil, and you came up here and you go, come on, pastor, guess me if you can. It's going to get kind of messy, isn't it? It's going to get a bit of health and safety up here. Okay, you need to be still sometimes for God to get his anointing upon you. Okay, the boys, they would have had to hold their jars still. Oh, look, I've got some... who put these here? These are good. I like these. Can you imagine? They would have had to be pretty still, wouldn't they? As you're pouring the oil, it's quite a precise thing, you know. They would have had to get underneath the jar with the olive oil in it and to be able to catch it and put it in their receptacles. There are times of being still before the Lord. We've been hearing a lot about Acts chapter 2 over the past few weeks. And what did Jesus tell the apostles and the disciples that they had to do? Wait in Jerusalem, that's right, until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Okay, excellent. So to be full of God, we have to be empty of self. And empty of pride. Good to do ourselves a spiritual checkup from time to time, even daily if you like. Who wants to be anointed of God? That, yes, is a very good thing. And then the question we need to ask ourselves, well, why do we want to be anointed of God? Is it for his glory? Or is it for our glory? Or perhaps it's just me that needs to ask myself that. You know, it's not about me, it's all about you, Lord. Okay, that's the thing that we've got to remember. So the correct answer is so that God can do his stuff. Instead of Jesus in Isaiah chapter 61, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the good news, heal, to set free, to open prison doors, proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Okay, so the anointing comes upon you for a reason and for a purpose. I'm sure we're all 100% dead to self. But just in case you're not, God has a plan for that as well. He's good like that. Remember Paul. We're going to Corinthians 12, 6 to 10 now. Because sometimes it's a funny thing, you know, when God shows you things, gives you revelation, sometimes if you're not careful, you can get a little bit kind of puffed out about it. Wow, just imagine, you know, this is what God showed me, you know, and you begin to get a little bit proud because you think to yourself, wow, I must be some kind of dude for God to tell me these kind of things. And this is what happened to Paul. I have plenty to boast about and would be no fool in doing it because I would be telling the truth, but I won't do it. I don't want anyone to think more highly of me than what they can actually see in my life and my message, even though I received wonderful revelations from God. But to keep me from getting puffed up, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and to keep me from becoming proud. Three different times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, my gracious favor is all you need. My power works best in your weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may work through me. Since I know it is all for Christ's good, I am quite content with my weakness and with insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. We've been hearing it coming through in the worship, and we cast our crowns before God. You know, he's the one that gets the glory. Anything that we've done, anything that we've seen accomplished, any revelations that God has given us, it's all about him. It's all for him and to him. It's all the work that he has done for us, in us, through us. Praise to his name. Okay. It would seem to be wise not to brag about what God has shown you, because otherwise you can get a bit prickly. Okay. Our God is a God of paradox. Humility brings honor, which brings us to our next scripture in James chapter 4, 4 through to 10. I'm going to read the whole of the text. Some of it is kind of quite hard-hitting, like James seems to be. But I felt it right to read it all, so I'm going to. You adulterers! Don't you realize that friendship with this world makes you an enemy of God? I say it again, that if your aim is to enjoy the world, you can't be a friend of God. What do you think the scriptures mean when they say that the Holy Spirit, whom God has placed within us, jealously longs for us to be faithful? He gives us more and more strength to stand against such evil desires, as the scriptures say. God sets himself against the proud, but he shows favor to the humble. So, here's the secret. Humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw close to God and God will draw close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you hypocrites. Let there be tears for the wrong things you have done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter and gloom instead of joy. When you bow down before the Lord and admit your dependence on him, he will lift you up and give you honor. So the way up is down. Sometimes I wonder, would James have been fun to live with? But I'm sure he was. I'm sure he was. It's just the way that he writes comes over quite strong, doesn't he? He just gives it to you, both barrels, doesn't he? Boom, boom. No messing around. Okay. Basically what it's saying is, get the world out. Let's get Jesus in. We often hear about a guy called Smith Wigglesworth. If you've ever read his books, you'd read that for 6 years, I think it was. He used to minister, and I think it was it gallstones he had, or was it bladder stones, one of the two. But he used to have internal bleeding because of it and all sorts. And God was telling him, never go under the surgeon's knife. Don't want you to, you know. And he had to stand on faith. Like, even though he was in a lot of pain, he would minister. You know, you'd see marvelous, amazing miracles when he used to minister to people. You'd see fantastic healings, and yet God didn't heal him for those 6 years, and he just had to stand and trust in God. It's almost like it was a thorn to him, you know, to keep him from becoming overly proud because of the amazing miracles that he saw at work in his life. But praise God, he did come to that place where God did heal him from it. So start humble and stay humble. We're nothing without God. Everything we do apart from him is what the Bible calls filthy rags. Filthy rags. I think the literal translation is menstrual cloths, which is, filthy rags. Back to our crying widow. She's oiled up to the max, okay? Something else is required. She needs to get it out to people. You know, it would have been a serious on goal if she was to leave the holy oil stacked up on her shelf. Because, she'd seen a wonderful outpouring of all that olive oil. She must have had loads of the stuff all over the place. But she'd have thought to herself, I just love this holy oil. I'm going to just leave it here and tell everybody about this wonderful miracle. It would not have been a good on. She had to move it on for the sake of her children. Okay, so spiritually speaking, if we don't move on the anointing that God has placed upon us, we're going to be left without spiritual children. We're going to be barren. Okay. So, moving on. Just like Jesus, God anoints us because, okay, he anointed Jesus, as we said in Isaiah 61, to do all those things. But he anoints us as well to enrich others. It's not just for us. You know, it's not for our own sake that he does that. It's for other people. Okay. I don't know that if you've noticed, but we tend to reproduce after our own kind. I'm not going to go there. You're all right. Okay. But can you imagine my confusion if I was in a delivery suite in the hospital And the midwife came up to me and said, "Congratulations, Mr. Parker. You have a lovely, beautiful orangutan." You know, I would have been a little bit put out, to be sure. Sorry, I've got a very abstract mind. You're just going to have to go with me on it. All right. I'm glad to say that was not the case. Both times I had two handsome, charming, intelligent boys after their own kind. Oh dear. So the physical mirrors the spiritual. Sharon's not handsome. She's beautiful. The physical mirrors the spiritual and not the other way around. Okay. So if your anointing is to give generously, which is a spiritual gift, then it's going to reproduce generosity in others. It happens. I've seen it happen. For instance, an apostle will produce an apostolic church, such as we're linked to down in Kingdom Faith. So a pastor with an evangelistic anointing produces an evangelistic church, etc. Okay, yeah, we know that we need all five ministry gifts working within a church to see the true blessing. Well, what are the five ministry gifts? Remind me. No, I want it from the top. Prophets, yes. Evangelists, yes. Pastors and teachers. Very good. 5 out of 5. I like it. Okay. And that is why that we are covenant connected, or we've got that bond to Kingdom Faith Church. Okay. So I've got a good idea. Do yourself a favor and get yourself to Faith Camp. Get dripped on by the powerful anointing that there is within that place. You know, there's an apostolic flow that goes from Kingdom Faith, and we'll be there at Faith Camp. We're going to get some wonderful messages, some Reformation messages are going to come to us this year. So, yeah, I just want to encourage you to get yourself down to Faith Camp. Now, don't be daft and say, "I don't need to receive from men. I can receive direct from God." Are you smarter than God? Would be my question. No, you are not. Okay? He put us in a body for a reason. To depend upon one another. It was great to see all that happening yesterday, wasn't it? The body working together to make a wonderful event happen. Learn from the widow. She cried out to the anointed man of God. You know, she could perceive that he had an anointing, or the Holy Spirit was upon him in such a way that she could have her needs met by him. All right, so it was an act of humility for her to go to him in the first place. "I need help because you can release what I can't." And that act of humility got her boys back, who were just about to be sold into slavery. And the thing I like about Elisha, he knew what he had to give. He knew what he had to give. "What can I do for you?" It's quite a statement, isn't it? You might think, "Oh, well, that's a little bit cocky, isn't it, for a man to say that kind of thing?" But he knew who it was who had anointed him. And he knew the anointing that was upon him. He was a man who in the past had served another great man of God, Elijah. And he'd managed to get himself a double portion of Elijah's spirit. And so now he was operating and he was moving in that. And false humility for him would have been a lie, as it is for us. False humility is a lie, okay? If you have something, God actually expects you to use it. Okay. The anointing that he had could provide and raise the dead. And it did. If you're filled with the Spirit, this is what it says in 1 John 2:20, you have an anointing from the Holy One. Tell your neighbor, you have an anointing from the Holy One. Tell somebody else, you have an anointing from the Holy One. Tell me, I got an anointing from the Holy One.
You have an anointing from the Holy One.
You have. Okay, you've got an anointing from the Holy One. Okay. Excellent. That anointing is holy and it is to be given away. So you have something from God to give away. You're anointed to be a blessing. And that anointing can come in lots of different forms, as we are a body. You know, as the Bible says, if the hand says it's not an eye, then it's not to get upset. Well, that's my paraphrase. Okay. Don't sweat it. Know what I'm saying, man. Okay. It doesn't really say that. In it. Yeah. The contemporary silly words version. Right. Yes. Let's move on. All right, you're anointed to be a blessing. Now, that can come in leadership, as we talked about. It can come in generosity. It can come with hospitality. Working together, we get the job done. Yes. There he was. I don't know whether, like myself, you were unfortunate enough to watch the football the other day. But they were talking about Mr. Suarez. I love him when he's in a Liverpool shirt, but not necessarily when he's in a Uruguayan shirt. Okay. They were talking about a 70% fit Suarez was the difference. Okay. A gifted man. Suarez, he's a footballer. Okay, he's a footballer. Plenty of football. It's a round ball, okay, and there's two goals in it. 11 World Cup. It's been, anyway. All right. I'll talk to you about it afterwards. All right. Talk to you about it afterwards. All right. There's a word of caution here, okay, word of caution. Don't come to me if you need organization. It's not really my area of anointing. All right. Okay, you know, I'm a practical kind of guy. You know, perhaps you discovered that yesterday, that I can teach you that it's a bad idea to plug 39 amps into a 20 amp circuit. You know, I can teach you that. That's, you know, excellent. Yeah. Sheila, it's all your fault. I'm glad you're sat in the corner. Only joking. She's ever so gracious, isn't she? Oh, bless her. Right. You're going to blow the fuse, which it did. And you're going to be serving cold cream teas, which aren't very nice. Okay. God gives specific gifts to meet certain needs. Okay, so if you've got specific gifts, make sure you're using them. And it's a good idea as well, if you've got a specific need, to go to the person that can meet that specific need. See, pastors know that, you know. Pastors know that because they know that they need the church to get the job done. So they need a job doing, they go to the right person. Can you do this? Yeah, I can do that, Pastor. Fantastic. And they leave it to them. So if I need medicine advice, I go to Medical Mike. If I want to know school stuff, I go to Teacher Trace, etc. You see, it just works so well, doesn't it? It just works well. Okay. Elisha asked, "Tell me, what do you have?" "Nothing at all," was her reply, "except a flask of olive oil." "That'll do." Okay, what have you got to give to God? You might say, "Well, I've only got my life. I've only got a body. I don't really have much to give." "That'll do." All right, God can use it. God can use it. Just give what you have got to God. And when he pours it out, you are going to be amazed at the supply that's going to flow out of it. Everybody has something to give. Yeah. Give him what you got. And you'll find out you'll get more and more and more. It doesn't just work financially. It works in all kinds of areas of ministry and life. Do not compare or underestimate what you have, because God doesn't do that. And here's another thing. Don't moan when you're called on to use your gift. Did you like that one? Yeah. Don't moan when you're called on to use your gift. Or should I say, do not bury your talent. Whoa. Ooh. So, oh yeah. Right. I got called on to do the electrics for walking a mile yesterday, just like I was talking about. No problems with that. No problems at all. No. Honestly, no problems with that. It's just that when I got to the fuse board, Pastor Limbry, when I got to the fuse board, They've got a fuse board. It's kind of like way down here. It's got all these displays in front of it. And you've got to kind of open these doors, remove all the decorations. Like, you know, it would have taken 5 minutes otherwise. But anyway, so I've got to reach in. I've got to get my screwdriver. I can't even see what I'm doing. I'm undoing the screw just by feel alone. Touch alone, because I'm so good. Thank you very much, Faye. So there I was, you know, blinking fuse board, you know, fracker-wrecking fuse board, flea-ridden, no-good, mangy thing. Yosemite Sam. I'm sure you've seen Yosemite Sam. Anyway, a little voice comes into my head, stop moaning. You want to be a blessing, don't you?
Yeah.
I see. Sorry, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I want to be a blessing. That cheered me up, actually. Yeah. Yeah, I want to be a blessing. You know, I figured that I was the only one that could have done that job there yesterday.
Definitely.
I was the only one that had the experience and the tools and the equipment to be able to do that job. I know some of you have got a little bit of electrical knowledge, but I was the only one with the full kit there yesterday. You know, I was the right man for the job. There is a job that God has for you that only you can do. Is the point. So don't underestimate your gift. Paradoxically, or conversely, do you like that? Don't overestimate your gift either. Romans chapter 12, verse 3 through to 8. As God's messenger, I give each of you this warning. Be honest in your estimate of yourselves, measuring your value by how much faith God has given you. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is in Christ's body. We are all parts of his one body and each of us has a different work to do. And since we are all one body in Christ, we belong to each other and each of us needs all the others. God has given each of us the ability to do certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out when you have faith that God is speaking through you. If your gift is that of serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, do a good job of teaching. If your gift is to encourage others, do it. If you have money, share it generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. What a fantastic list that is. So there we learn that your gift is linked to your measure of faith. For example, the widow went to Elisha because he had a bigger faith, shall we say. All right, the measure of faith that you've been given will decide your capacity. Right, God is moved, we are told, by faith. It's faith that moves the hand of God. We get what we believe for. I could speak to you. I don't mind speaking to you guys here, but if you said to me, I want you to speak on the main stage at Faith Camp, I think I would probably say, yes, see you later. Okay, because there's a measure of faith that you need to have to be able to speak in a grand meeting. That's just a kind of a example for you. Okay. And there's loads of other examples that we could use as well. So back to some of our proven electrical theory that we saw yesterday. All right. Ask a circuit to do more than its capacity and you're going to blow the fuse. All right. You need the right fuse for the right circuit. All right. The wrong fuse the wrong fuse on a smaller circuit, then you could be in a bit of trouble. I've got a little example for you. You've been wondering what's in the bag, man. Well, here we go. All right. I have some cable. And my first cable, right, hold that for me, please, mate. I'm gonna pull this one here. Now, this is pretty crude, but, you know, it's pretty basic stuff, shall we say. This is what they call a 1 mil twin and earth cable. And usually you'd stick, say, a little 6-amp circuit breaker on it there. So that one goes with that one. So it only allows 6 amps to flow. And if more than 6 amps were going to flow, it's going to pop the fuse. it's going to pop the fuse. Whereas this one here is a 20 amp cartridge fuse. That's that one. Bryce got the right cable for that one. I like the 2.5 cable, much like we were using yesterday on a 20 amp fuse. Put 29 amps through it, we get the results we got yesterday. That one's slightly broken, so it's not to be used again. Okay, but if you've got an even bigger cable, you can use this on your shower. 40 amp cable, 6 mil, twin and earth cable. Fantastic. Do you like that? Look at that bit of lovely twin and earth cable. It's actually in the old colours, so you're not allowed to use that. That is illegal to use, I'll have you know. All right, make sure you don't install it. That's the idea. I'm going to scrap it, yes. Going to sell it on. You got any copper? But anyway, let's not go there. Right. What lessons do we take? Right. What lessons do we learn from that? Do you get what I'm trying to say? We've all got a certain capacity. We've all got a certain amount of faith. And God doesn't kind of say one's better than the other. He just gives a certain amount of faith to one. He gives a certain amount of faith to another. Yes, our faith can grow. Yes, God wants that faith to grow. But in the certain areas that he's got for us to use, that certain part of the body that he's placed us in, we're going to be able to flow in that gifting better than someone who's not got that gift. Okay, now if you find yourself in a situation where you've extended your faith, you may find that you are going to blow your fuse. Okay, it's going to melt you. There's going to be a bit of a meltdown. If we'd have put, say, like a 50 amp fuse on that cable that we had yesterday and just kept on running the kettles, boy, would have been going, what's that smell? What's that smell? It would have been a case of, yeah, that's your electrical cables. They're beginning to melt, Bri. Okay. So don't do something that is beyond your faith level. Otherwise, you're going to go into meltdown. That's what I'm trying to say. Okay. God's not going to ask you to do that. There's no joy in that. It's only frustration. God wants you to enjoy your life. Okay, he's anointed us with the spirit of joy. Don't overstretch yourself with things that God's not asking you to do. Otherwise, you're going to go into meltdown. Enjoy your life. Right, our next point. Especially relevant in times of transition. We find ministries change, but your gifts and your anointings, they carry on. They stay with you. They remain. So imagine it a bit like this, which is why I've brought these glass jars along. You pour your gift into a ministry jar. And you fill it up right up to the top. And when you're done, when that one's spent, your gift is still there. So you can place that ministry down and you pick another one up. And you start to fill that one. Looks a little bit different. It's a different type of shape. But you're still pouring out that gift. You've still got something to give. God's still got those gifts and callings that are irrevocable, unmovable, can't be changed. He's still got something for you to give into a different type of ministry, a different jar, if you like to say. So I'm just using the jar illustration there. And hopefully it'll get in your head. You'll have to let me know whether it worked or not later. Okay. So there's always more with God.
Yes, that's good.
Always more with God. Might look different, but there's always more with God. Okay, you're going to be surprised how many vessels that God wants to fill through you. Your call, it can be malleable and flexible. It means the same kind of thing. But just malleable sounds like a posh word, so I wanted to put it in there. Do you know what I mean? So here's a good example. If you're called to be a full-time mum, you're going to find that your role changes over the years when your little darling grows up. And eventually, your little darling is going to fly the nest, as the saying goes. And you're going to find that you no longer need to be a full-time mum because your role is changing. So your ministry and your call is changing because of the circumstances that you're going to find yourself in. But one thing that I'm absolutely sure of, God does not call us to be pew fillers. Mm-hmm. He has work for us to do. He has work for you to do. Let me hear you say to yourself, God has work for me to do.
God has work for me to do.
Excellent. All right. Fear not. Whatever he calls you to, he is going to give you the gift for you to be able to do it. Okay, if you want to powerfully serve God, remember, we got to humbly serve first of all. And then God, what does he do? Keith said it first, raises us up. Okay, humbly serve God and he will raise you up. A good place to start is, Pastor, how can I help the church? You know, that's just practically how it works. You know, let's not get overly super spiritual about it. With a body of Christ, you know. And if you want to serve Christ, then you serve his body. You go to your pastor, who's the head of the church. Say, Pastor, how can I serve the church? And she will let you know. Okay. Excellent. Right. Like Elisha served Elijah. Empties you of pride, which is good. You don't want to be going into a ministry with pride. It's not good. It's what caused the devil to fall. And we're not down with that. Okay. Did you enjoy serving together yesterday? Yeah, it was fun, wasn't it? You know, it is fulfilling as well. You find fulfillment when you're serving God. Sometimes, you know, in the world, it seems, you know, God being a God of paradox, it would seem, serving someone, no, that doesn't sound like much fun at all. But we find that when we're serving God, yes, it is. There is joy in serving God. There's joy in serving one another. So, here's the challenge. If you're sucking air, God has a calling for you. Okay, if you're part of the body of Christ, God has a gift and an anointing that he requires you to use. It starts with service. And sometimes, yeah, you got to wait on God. You got to ask God, what is it you're leading me to do? And you got to be still in his presence. And then that anointing can come upon you and you can start to move in it. And of course, you got to check it all out with the leaders of the church because we're flowing together. In a body, you know, and the body all comes from the head downwards. The head being Christ, you know, he works in order and it goes all through the nervous system. We know that you know, it's the head that tells each part of the body what to do. Is your vessel empty? Is a question. If not, what we need to do is to clear it out. All right? Clear it out of the things that can get in the way. For instance, sin or fear or doubt or troubles or longing for the things and the nice things of this world. You know, James put it quite straight, didn't he? Don't be adulterers. Don't love the world. You know, we've got to put God first. God has got to be the preeminent one. If we're serving God, he's going to give us all these things as well. It tells us in the Bible, doesn't it? Okay, so we got an opportunity this morning. If you know that perhaps you've been holding back from God, and he's got something for you, but you'd be saying, you know, I want to do things for myself, or you know, I'm just quite enjoying where I am, thank you. I don't want to have too much kind of extra pressure coming into my life or whatever. You know, you got to find a place where you can use your gift. If you know that you're not really using your gift, if you know that you've been withholding your gift back from God, and perhaps living for yourself rather than living for the plans and the purposes of God, well, all you got to do is decide this morning that you're going to change that. You're going to change that. Okay? You can say, God, I want to put you first. All right. Tell you what, let's get into just an atmosphere of prayer now. Let's bow our eyes. Bow our eyes? Bow our heads. Close our eyes. And yeah, let's just do a bit of business with God. And if you're sensing that God is calling you to take a step towards him, he's going to reveal what it is that he has for you. You know, he will always be revealing the next things for you. It'll come in his time. Sometimes you need to wait on him. And it's going to take a bit of time for it to come, but it's going to come. And the question we've been having coming back to us, are we willing? You know, that's the question, are we willing? God's not going to make us willing, but are we willing to do the thing that God has for us to do? Because people need what we've got. And if you recognize you spent too long filling a pew, or you recognize you need to commit to serve the body of Christ a little bit more, then don't delay. You can do it today. All right. Okay. So I think I'm just going to finish in prayer. Going to give thanks to God for all that he has done in and through our lives. And just leave it with you guys, really, and your hearts. So, yeah, you do business with God as well. You speak to God, and if there's something that he's been pointing out to you, then, you know, you need to deal with that between you and God as well. But, yeah, Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you, Lord, that you just gave us the best example that we could ever have in Jesus, who, Lord, though he was the king of the universe, he made himself nothing. And, Lord, he came down to this world to serve us, Lord, so that we could know you. I just want to praise you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. And Lord, I want to pray, Lord, that you'd speak to our hearts. I thank you, Lord, that you have a calling upon every single one of our lives. And I pray, Lord, that even this morning we'd be able to say, Lord, it's your way that I want to go. I don't want to go my way. I want to go your way. I want to be able to live for you. I want to give my all for you because you gave your all for me. Heavenly Father, I pray that you're going to help us all just be able to step into the thing that you've got for us, to use all of the gifts that you've given for us. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us things, Lord, to be able to give to others. And I pray that we are going to be those empty vessels that are ready to be poured out for you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.